All right.
All right! Hey!
Okay. It's a special music episode of DanCast. Is it? I don't know. I haven't even started fucking talking yet. And all of a sudden, it's a special music episode. I am looking at my topics and realizing I do have a few music-related ones. But first thing I wanted to talk about is my computer seems to be making a lot of sound. Always makes a lot of sound. I have a MacBook from 2008, a MacBook Pro. And for some reason, I was thinking about how resilient, is that the word, this computer is. Because when I had PCs, I would upgrade PCs like every couple years. And I've put new RAM and a new hard drive and all that stuff into this computer, but in general, I haven't felt the need to get something new. I've wanted to. See, that's the thing, is I want to get like a Retina MacBook Pro, but I won't because this one's doing me just fine, and I typically don't do a lot of design work or anything like that that would really require, like if I got really heavily into editing photos, maybe a Retina MacBook, but they don't have Retina displays yet, so I'm kind of waiting that out because I think my podcasting setup is not completely MacBook display driven because right now I'm talking into a microphone, it's mounted to a computer or a computer desk, and I have an external monitor from Asus, what is this, 24 inch? I don't know, that's plugged into the MacBook as like a dual display. And usually I would keep the MacBook closed, but ever since goddamn Yosemite, the MacBook just makes tons and tons of fan noise. So I don't know if I got to open this thing up and take some canned air to it or anything like that. But I've been noticing more and more, even just recording a podcast, like a podcast which in general is not heavily CPU intensive because it's just, you know, audio is being recorded. And I have one of those MacBooks that's, what is it? It's like two chips for the graphics processing. And if I want to like go into battery saver mode, I have to log out and then log back in again. If I want to go into high performance mode, which enables the graphics chip to like do a lot of tasks or switches over the graph to a different chip, then I have to log in and log out to do that. And the performance is great. Graphics are clean. And the fan, because Yosemite is just so much more graphic intensive, I think that's my guess, because Yosemite's got transparency or translucency. I don't know the difference. I'm uneducated. I went to public school, so that's why. And that's why the computer is just so chugging along. And I would generally keep the MacBook closed and use the computer in that fashion where I would just operate through the external display. But when I do a podcast, I leave it open because the computer goes, can you hear it? Can you hear it now? Maybe not, because I've got a noise gate on this. So 5 fucking minutes on the computer fan on my MacBook Pro. If I had to, which I don't, maybe that's a good reason to,
I just want it to be quiet. My MacBook's too loud. That's why I had to get a Retina MacBook. That's
why I had to go $2,000 into debt. I was thinking this is a music-based episode because I had some various music topics. One is, I'll talk about all my music stuff up top. I guess to start off, it's the first thing to talk about is iTunes and Beats. There was a report on 9 to 5 Mac. I don't know if you guys read tech blogs, you probably don't, but 9 to 5 Mac was reporting that iTunes Beats music service, whatever they end up calling it, is going to be integrated soon into the iTunes software. And I am so looking forward to this. I've mentioned already into this show into the show that the day that I can just stream whatever I want and never have to outright buy music again, I think what they'll do is they'll have a premium tier for like the Taylor Swifts of the world, where you could just, if they want to, they can charge $10 for the download, and then over time they could stir that into the streaming offering. But most people aren't like that. Most people aren't Taylor Swift. So, there will be, I believe, a mix of your local music library as you have it today in iTunes, and then mixed in with that is the streaming service, where you could just say, add this album to my library, and it'll go into your library, and it'll be a lot like iTunes is now. Except you don't have to buy anything, you just pay $10 a month, $8 a month, and that's that, which is kind of what I've always wanted. I don't know if they'll do that, because I think they have an opportunity to start from scratch. I think they need to get away from iTunes as the sync engine, which they have been for years. The problem is, like, how do they still satiate, is that a good word, the Windows and Android people? Is this interesting to anybody? The Android and Windows people, so that they have a tunnel, let's say, into the Apple, the iTunes platform. This is kind of similar to, they just announced the new Photos app, or released it in beta in a Mac OS update, and it looks pretty nice, especially if you take a lot of photos with your iThing. And I think potentially they could be doing that with a music. And with music comes the Grammy Awards, which are tonight. I'm interested in watching, because there was this rumor that there's going to be a big iTunes Beats to do around this time of year, but I don't know if that's going to happen. But I'm interested in the Grammys in that I don't know anything about the Grammys anymore, because did you know Aphex Twin, his album Syro or Zero or however you say it, is up for Best Electronic Album of the Year? Did anybody know this? Did anybody who is an Aphex Twin fan have any fucking idea that this guy's up for a Grammy? I think it's going to be, if he gets it, it's going to be one of those Grammys, those awards, but you're kind of getting it because of your contribution to the music landscape, not because of your latest release, which is okay. It's not, you know, it's not Richard D. James album, which I think is my favorite Aphex Twin album. Did he have it? Was he ever up for a Grammy before? I don't know. But my point is, it's the Grammys are irrelevant, might be too strong a word, but they're not, as music markets are getting fragmented. I feel like it's not the same as it always was, where everyone kind of, I think everyone has their own world mixed with the things that they like, the things that they listen to, and because of that, it's harder for, what would you call it, mass push. Ain't a lot of people behind the same thing like they used to be back when there were three channels on TV, is what I'm trying to say. But on the other hand, you can't think of music as a, like, break it out on genres. And you have to think of it more in, like, marketplaces. Like, top 40 is not necessarily a genre. It can be made up of a lot of genres, like, you know, pop and rock and country music. And there are people that don't think of it in that way. There are people who just like top 40 music. And there are radio stations to supply that market with the music. And so there's still perhaps a level of people where the Grammys would be appropriate for them to watch, because they want to see, like, you know, Katy Perry just had a big Super Bowl halftime show performance. I didn't catch it, but it was huge. It was what people were talking about on Twitter, and for the past week, you know, making fun of this fucking Left Shark shit, because people were dressed up in shark costumes, and just because Katy Perry's halftime show was over the top. And the reason you have to get behind that, like, okay, so why was Katy Perry the halftime Super Bowl show? Was it because football fans like Katy Perry? I don't think so. I think it's more because, in general, it seemed to me that the Super Bowl halftime show is there to, for the non-football fans that watch the Super Bowl, in the same way like people who, like, people like to watch the Super Bowl commercials. And Super Bowl commercials, if you're a football fan and you like, you know, funny commercials, I guess that's like a side benefit. But, you know, this thing, this cultural event of the Super Bowl is kind of, you know, not just for football fans. You know? Just, do you see what I'm talking about? So the Grammy Awards, I feel like, are kind of like that. The thing I keep thinking about with the Grammy Awards is this something that music fans and everyone's just going to get behind and watch because, oh, good, the Grammys are on tonight? Or is it because what else is on TV tonight? You got the Grammys. I think there's a Walking Dead premiere on. And I think a lot of, in the past, back when, you know, there wasn't, like, all these cable channels, you watched the Grammys not because you were interested in the Grammys, but because the Grammys were on and Sunday night TV sucks. That's my guess. I was thinking a lot about, what's the name of that song? Take Me to Church by Hozier. Do you guys know Take Me to Church by Hozier? I'll try to, let's see if I can figure out how to make a marker, and I'll drop it in. Take me to church, I worship like a dog at the shrine of your life. I'll tell you my sins, and you can sharpen your knife. Offer me that deathless death, the good God, let me give you my life. Take me to church, I worship like a dog at the shrine of your life. When you create a marker in Logic, it doesn't look like it dropped in exactly the spot where you wanted it to be dropped. Anyway, so Take Me to Church, this song by this guy named Hozier that's really, really, really popular. I don't know if that's on in the Grammys tonight, but someone on Facebook, one of my Facebook friends, was asking about, like, why, what is it about this song that I don't get? Why does everyone like this song, Take Me to Church? So the comments were like some girl saying, oh, it's a really good song, it's got a great message, blah, 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 blah. Watch the video, the video's great. I haven't watched the video. Apparently the video, I guess, is like it's like a gay couple. But in the song, it's Hozier saying, you know, he's using pronouns like she. Because the message of the song is, this guy, Hozier, is so incredibly in love with this girl, it's like she's shown him church for the first time, or something like that. Or something like that makes it sound like I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Maybe that's right. Maybe I haven't really listened to the song or watched the video. But the lyrics are like, I'd cut, you know, bloodlet, or I don't remember the exact words, but the message was, chick's got a powerful way over this guy. And we talked about that a little bit on this show before, was how a lot of mainstream music is songs for women. Basically, that should be the name of my album. If I come out with an album, it'll be songs for chicks or songs for women, because I think a lot of the music market is incredibly into that. Like Katy Perry, all her stuff is empowerment for little girls, or, you know, she'll claim also, you know, young men, young boys. But I don't know. If you listen to Firework, because baby, you're a firework, huge part of the interview. I'll leave it at that. If you haven't seen the interview, it's not wonderful, but it's not dog shit. So maybe check it out. It's on Netflix. Anyway, the interview. No, the idea is, if you can write a song that resonates with the woman brain, this Hozier song is a lot like a virgin touched for the very first time. It's a lot like Losing My Religion by REM. What were the other songs? For some reason, all I could think of is I'm the One Who Wants to Be With You. What was the name of that group? Time to drop another marker. I'm the one who wants to be with you. Deep inside, I hope you'll feel it too. Feel it too. Waited on a lot. So, I don't remember what band that is, but the idea is that just to be the next to be with you. An enablement of people, I think specifically women, to get lost in this fantasy of being the person on the receiving end of that song. Even Sam Smith's Stay With Me, even though he's talking about a guy, it could be applied to a woman too, and because I don't think he specifies. It's all you, not him, or her. So, I want to watch the Grammy Awards to check out what the current state of the music industry is, because I fucking have no idea anymore. Even something like, in my work life, one of the things that they make a big deal about is electronic dance music, because electronic dance music relies so heavily on lighting and special effects and media servers, projectors, all that sort of stuff. So they're making a big deal about the EDM genre. The problem is, I think the EDM genre peaked 3 years ago. I don't think it's getting bigger. I think it might be on the decline because everything sounds the same. I don't know, maybe when I hear EDM, I think of, people didn't know a better way to describe Skrillex. this dubstep thing didn't quite work out because there's different genres, you know, there's different branches of this tree. But when I think of EDM, or people describing EDM, what they're talking about is, you know, the drum part that's like, boom, 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 psh, boom, psh. And then you got the bass part, and that's kind of like, and the treble is kind of something like, now put all that shit together, and that's your next dance hit. Do I sound like a cranky old man talking about all these white guys performing black music? Like Elvis Presley. I do think of that with Meghan Trainor. Like, all about that bass, I think, is the white girl version of Rick Astley. Because when people heard Rick Astley back in the 80s, and even when they heard, what's that guy? Bobby... I'm looking it up real quick. Bobby Caldwell. He did that song, What You Won't Do For Love. What you won't do to do for love. You tried everything, but you don't give up. When people heard these guys on the radio, they thought, these are black men. And the R&B stations at the time would play them, you know, for the black music market. And the record labels knew this. They knew they had this thing going on where there were people who listened to the stuff they put out and thought, this is a black guy. I can identify with this. And because of that, they intentionally, for at least in Bobby Caldwell's case, they did not show his face on any album covers until like The Secret was out. So this was like back in the 70s. And, you know, Rick Astley was in the 80s. So when, you know, the Bobby Caldwell song would come on and the black music market would listen to this and be like, oh, this guy's great. I want to listen to this. I want to see this guy perform. And then they would go to the concert and it's some white guy. And then so they're like, what the fuck is this? They probably didn't say it like that. But they still, like, in their mind, people believed that this was a black guy. And Meghan Trainor, I think, is sort of like that, where you think this is a black woman. Like, you can't get, this day and age, you can't get over, like, she has to be, like, visible. If people had, like, Facebook and Twitter and all these social networks back in the 70s, they wouldn't have played the game of the Bobby Caldwell. Like, the album cover is him, as a silhouette of him on a park bench or something like that, or walking around. That's what it was. And when I hear Meghan Trainor sing, I think this is a white girl trying to sound black. And at the risk of sounding, I don't think this is racist. I think it's, of course, now people are going to be like, well, it's totally fucking racist, Dan. I'm not saying it's bad music. I'm just saying she's taken, it's what it was like with Elvis Presley back, man, at this point, 60 years ago, where there's a guy and he had the style that was typically not played in like the white music market. You know, when you think of white singers back in the 50s, besides Elvis Presley, you got like Buddy Holly. You got, who was that guy that married his cousin? Jerry did Goodness Gracious, Great Balls of Fire. This was a tangent I did not intend to go on, because I was originally talking about electronic dance music. The point is that electronic dance music is either on the decline, if it stays the way it is, or it has been, it's on the decline, and it's got to change. That was all. It's kind of a anticlimactic thing. Rick Astley. Rick Astley was a, you know, you guys all know the song. Internet made a big fucking deal about it 10 years ago with Rick Rolls. Is that a thing? Like, there's a whole Mr. Show skit about that idea of white performers imitating, they said, co-opting the black culture, and it's still going on now, because you have Iggy Azalea, who I guess people have a problem with her because she's a hip-hop artist, but she's white and Australian, so there's this like common undercurrent of, oh, they're gonna Macklemore us again, because last year you had Macklemore with Thrift Shop and, you know, another white guy, and he gets the Grammy. So was it just black people, or was it tons of people? I don't know if it even fucking matters. Fucking, I gotta stop swearing. We went to a hockey game last night, and what was good about the hockey game, you know, we got out of the house, and what wasn't good is it was snowing. And what was good is, you know, there's this moment in the game, you know, if you've ever been to a hockey game, this was in Queensbury, and which is apparently, from some article I just read, is like the number four hockey team, number four hockey town in the United States. Excuse me. And I don't know how they determine that, because when we went, I was expecting it to be a madhouse because supposedly this was the rivalry. This is how ridiculous the rivalries are. It was Queensberry, the Adirondack Flames, versus the Utica Comets. How's that for a fucking rivalry? People are like, our team hates the team that's 70 miles away. Fuck the Comets. But you know right what? They were right to be afraid of the Comets because the Comets won. Comets did they went 5 minutes into the hockey game, the Comets had scored, and then they kind of evened it up within the next period, and then near the end, the Comets scored again. But anyway, the point is, we were at this hockey game, and at the hockey games, they do fun stuff like toss out t-shirts and do all this, you know, swag and kiss cams and all that shit. So at one point, they're doing a t-shirt toss. So my girlfriend, she wants a t-shirt, or she's interested in getting a t-shirt, I guess. And this guy tosses one her way. It lands at her feet. She picks it up. She's so excited. She's so happy she got the t-shirt. And this little kid comes up. It was like a boy, like 7 or 8 years old. And he asks her, can I have that? And it's this moment of like, what the fuck should you do? You know, you wonder if you're on like a hidden camera show. Because she wants the shirt. And I kind of want to ask you guys, what would you do? Think about what you would do. And I'd be interested if you would tell me. Because here's what she did. She, in her mind, she thought the right thing to do is just give the kid a t-shirt. But she wanted the t-shirt so much, she gave it to me. And she said, here, you do it. Because she didn't want to give the t-shirt away. So she gives me the t-shirt, and I hand the t-shirt to the kid. With the logic being, you know, this is, neither of us are really big hockey fans, and this kid is so excited for the t-shirt, and this kid, it means so much more to him that he gets a t-shirt than it does for us. We could fucking buy a t-shirt if we really wanted one. And this kid's, you know, 7 or 8 years old. Dad's probably an alcoholic. That's why he's at a hockey game. And so we give the t-shirt to him. And for a bit, you know, she's a little upset. She's like, this little shit just comes up and asks for the t-shirt. Like, you can't say no to a little kid. And this little kid, this little bastard knows that. And But I think it was the right thing to do. And then we look down. This kid's maybe like a few rows ahead of us, off to the side. And this kid's got a friend, and he gives the friend the t-shirt. And this little kid, it's not even his t-shirt. But I still think that the right thing, I still think the right thing happened. I still think the right thing to do was give the kid a t-shirt. Despite her kind of wanting, because you when you're in that situation, you think this is a test. Like, there's, you think, okay, all these people are watching. They believe, they, you know. By the way, if you've ever been to any sort of sporting event, you know that when they shoot out t-shirts in the crowd, or any sort of like foul balls or home runs or any shit like that, it's a fucking free-for-all. People go madly fucking insane over these t-shirts, over these foul balls. And there's one YouTube video where a foul ball goes into the crowd from a baseball game, and this little boy catches it, it pops out of his hand, and this grown woman like picks it up, and she instead of like giving it back to the kid, she's like, yeah, I got it, yeah, I got the ball. That kid should have gone up to her and been like, can I have that? That's literally what this kid said, is can I have that? One more topic. This is kind of a long one. One more topic I wanted to bring up was Starship Troopers. Have you guys ever seen Starship Troopers? I wanted to point you in the direction of, I was talking about the guy who did the Revenge of the Nerds film analysis, and he did one on Starship Troopers. Starship Troopers, as of right now, is on Netflix. And I watched it this past weekend, and I remember the first time I saw Starship Troopers, I merely thought of it as an action movie, like a pretty cheesy sci-fi action flick. And then watching it as an adult, because I was like 15 years old when Starship Troopers came out, watching it as an adult, it's an entirely different movie. It is about militarism. It is about propaganda, similar to the propaganda found in World War II on both sides of the Atlantic. And supposedly, Starship Troopers, the movie, is very different than Starship Troopers, the book. Starship Troopers, the book, I think, is a lot more about the virtue of, you know, giving back to the, of serving your home country and preparing to give your life for your ideals and all that shit. And Starship Troopers, the movie, is about parodying all these ideals that the author of the Starship Troopers book put forth in the book. So the guy who wrote the book supposedly wasn't that happy with the Starship Troopers movie. But if you watch this guy's analysis, Rob Ager, Collective Learning, is a YouTube channel, I get lost in the film analysis. And it's incredible the amount of subtle commentary that's found in even things like Revenge of the Nerds. He's got one on RoboCop. He's got now, you know, he's got this one on Starship Troopers. He's got one on Space Odyssey 2001, or switch that, reverse it, 2001 Space Odyssey. And sometimes it could be just that it's not necessarily what the vision of the filmmaker had in mind. You know when people just grab some piece of art and they modify it for their own what's the word? For their own agenda, let's say. I don't think this guy's got any agenda, but he's clearly got ideas and knows a lot more about this stuff than I do, to bring up specific examples. And so if you're into Starship Troopers, check out the Starship Troopers analysis by Rob Ager. That's R-O-B-A-G-E-R on YouTube. It's in three parts. And I gotta get away from the computer. I've been sitting here for like 2 hours doing like rebalancing my allocations. How's that? And just getting ready for like Valentine's Day. What are you guys doing for Valentine's Day? This is the first Valentine's Day I've ever been in a relationship. So fuck. I don't have to do. I want to do, you know, nice things that she's not expecting me to do, like special things. I'll probably get flowers for her and have them delivered to work. I don't know if you guys follow this thing called Goldman Sachs Elevator Talk, or it's a Twitter account, but there's a great tweet from it that was like, pro tip, gentlemen, buy your girl some flowers and send them to her anonymously. If she doesn't mention them, she's cheating on you. And I don't know if I'd go that far, but stuff like that made me go, oh, I should get her flowers. So I got to do that stuff. All right. This has been Dancast episode 69, dude. No. I swore I wouldn't make a joke like that and hear it. I'm ending the fucking show with that. Enjoy your Grammy Awards or your pie, whichever you choose to do tonight. Take care.